of Palestine's Islamic Jihad movement has hailed Iran's support for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And thousands of Israeli protesters once again take to the streets across the occupied territories, calling for early elections and the resignation of the regime's premier. Thank you for joining us. Today's top story, the Israeli military has launched new aerial and ground attacks on Gaza as a death toll from the nearly 6 months of onslaught on the besieged strips keeps climbing. Israeli warplanes have once again targeted the central city of Deir al-Balah as well as Rafah in the south. Civil defense crew and paramedics are struggling to recover the wounded from the bombed-out buildings due to lack of equipment. Heavy fighting is also underway in the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital, located in Gaza City. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, 82 people were killed in the last 24 hours, bringing the death toll to more than 32,700 since early October. Nearly 75,200 Palestinians have also been wounded. Most of the casualties are women and children. The Deputy Secretary General of Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement noted that the Palestinian resistance has showed great resilience in the face of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza.
In the beginning of the battle, Israel expected that the Palestinians would lose. They carried out shelling and airstrikes against the residential areas in Gaza and thought that the war was over. But then they were forced to fight in the northern Gaza. And then they said they had defeated the resistance in Khan Yunis in the south, but later they found the presence of the Palestinian fighters there who fired rockets towards the Israeli enemy. Israel did not expect that the spread of Palestinian resistance would be so high. They realized that the Palestinians in Gaza are ready to sacrifice and bear all the hardships in order to continue fighting.
Mohammed al-Hindi noted that Israel and the U.S. have failed to achieve any of their goals in their onslaught on the besieged territory. He added that Washington and Tel Aviv were after weakening the resistance. Al-Hindi said the Israeli regime has been using American weapons to destroy Gaza's infrastructure to forcibly displace Palestinians from their homes. The top Islamic Jihad official said that Israel seeks to divide Gaza into two parts and give control of the strip to another group. Al-Hindi stressed that the day after the end of the Israeli onslaught, Gaza will be under the full control of Palestinians. Now to talk more on this, we are joined by Mr. Shabir Rizvi, a political commentator from Chicago. Now, Mr. Rizvi, first of all, your thoughts on the Islamic Republic's support for the Palestinians and the Palestinian cause, and why do you think since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, Iran continues to support the Palestinian cause despite the numerous sanctions slapped on the nation? We know that it isn't the main reason for the sanctions, but it's part of it as it goes against the West policy and, most importantly, Zionism.
Yes, thank you for having me. The first day of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini promised that Iran would step up for Palestine and would have full solidarity with the Palestinian cause. This was actually even reflected on by the leaders of the PIJ back then. I believe they came out with a booklet called The Islamic Solution and the Alternative, where they praised the Islamic Revolution in Iran and saw this as a light in an otherwise dark world for the Palestinian cause, that they now had a vehement ally behind them in order to fight the Zionist regime. And as you know, throughout the years, Iran has faced many sanctions, whether it is just for stepping up for itself or stepping up for Palestine. And the thing about this is Iran correctly points out that the Israeli regime, the Zionist regime, is a cancer on the region. What it does is it acts as a military outpost for the United States. This is going to, if left unchecked, this is going to grow. It's going to, you know, go into other territories. It poses an imminent threat to the entire region. Iran correctly analyzed this and saw what the Zionist regime is capable of on the behest of Western regimes, on the behest of Western imperialism. So in order for the region to be stabilized, in order for the region to see peace, Israel must be removed. It's as clear as day. As long as this illegitimate regime is allowed to stay in any sort of way, whether it's a two-state solution or what have you, it poses a direct threat to the region. The only way for the region to see any peace is the dissolution of Israel, is the overthrow of Israel, and Iran correctly sees that and correctly backs that. As you saw throughout years, specifically with General Soleimani, who worked on the battlefront with leaders of this of the Islamic Resistance and also Hamas of PIJ, and also the PFLP, who all praised Iran, who all praised General Soleimani. The thing about this form of resistance that really angers the Western imperialists is that Iran and General Soleimani helped this resistance become self-sustaining. They taught them how to make weapons. They taught them how to subvert their Zionist enemies. They taught them battlefield tactics. It's not the same as how the United States creates proxy forces for itself that are only supported by the United States and its corporate schemes. No, Iran actually taught the resistance to be self-sufficient, which is why Western regimes are so angry with Iran. But it's also why the Palestinian resistance sees Iran as a beacon of hope and a legitimate ally and partner of the Palestinian cause.
World, learn from the Iran's Islamic Revolution, especially now in this day and age, as we see the U.S.-Israeli onslaught on Gaza, especially being supported by the U.S., killing and destroying whoever or whatever is in their way.
Yes, so it's very unfortunate that it's coming down to this, the way that the Palestinian resistance is kind of able to respond to this is only because of the allyship of Iran and the tactics that Iran has taught it throughout the years, and also their own courageousness and their own tactics that they've learned throughout the years. What we're seeing on the battlefront right now is Palestinians still, over 6 months in, responding to Israeli threats, destroying Merkava tanks, destroying Zionist troops. 6 months later, and they're unable to stop the Palestinian resistance, to the point where the Palestinian resistance, even from the north, is able to send rockets into occupied Palestine, sending settlers running into their basements. The Israeli regime has been unable to stop the Palestinian resistance. And because of that, they're now resorting to killing civilians. They're, as they've always have been, they're resorting to these war crimes. They're resorting to starvation, especially in the month of Ramadan, which is just absolutely preposterous. And you see the true face of the Zionist regime, which many of us have seen throughout years, but now it's exposed to the international community that the Zionist regime is, in fact, this genocidal, illegitimate occupation. And even the international courts are seeing this. International appendages that once, you know, ignored Palestine are now forced to look at the Palestinian issue face to face and call out Israel for what it is. It's a pariah state. It's committing war crimes. It's committing the crime of genocide. All the while, it's unable to even achieve any of its political objectives, which include eliminating Hamas or disarming Hamas or what have you. They're unable to stop the Palestinian resistance. And of course, this speaks to years of experience of the resistance that was backed fundamentally by Iran since day one of Iran's Islamic Revolution. And I think that, you know, the praise that we see from the leaders of Hamas and PIJ for Iran is completely without question accurate. Iran has been there for their allies since day one, and I don't think that's going to go away at any point throughout history.
There you have it, Mr. Shabir Rizvi, political commentator from Chicago. Mr. Rizvi, thank you for your time, sir. Now, continuing with the rest of the news, the Palestinian resistance factions have rejected an Israeli proposal to send military forces of some Arab countries to manage the besieged Gaza Strip. In a statement issued by Hamas, the Palestinian factions warned of the consequences of such proposal, saying that it's a trap set by Tel Aviv and Washington to help Israel go around its defeat in Gaza. The factions added that the proposal seeks to draw some Arab countries into serving Israeli plans amid the regime's failures on the ground. The statement warned that any international or Arab forces entering Gaza would be considered an occupying force and will be dealt with accordingly. It also confirmed that the Palestinian people are capable of choosing their leaders and institutions to manage the besieged strip. The proposal was reported by American media, which claimed that Israel was seeking to deploy a multinational force in the besieged Gaza Strip. The Secretary General of Palestine's Islamic Jihad movement has hailed Iran's support for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
The Islamic Republic of Iran has paid the price of supporting Palestine with sanctions because of its position regarding the Palestinian defense and resistance and its support for the Palestinian people and its rights. But in recent years, what has distinguished the position of the Islamic Republic is its constant support of the Palestinian people, and it would have not been easy for the Palestinian people to have this blessed steadfastness in the Battle of Al-Aqsa flood without the Iranian continuous and clear support, which has been constant in recent years in the political, military, and security field.
Nakhali noted that Iran has always sided with justice and defended the Palestinian nation since the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Nakhali made the comments after meeting Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian in Tehran. The two sides discussed the latest developments in Gaza and the ongoing Israeli onslaught against civilians in the Palestinian territory. The Palestinian official had previously held talks with senior Iranian officials. Thousands of Israeli protesters have once again taken to the streets demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Massive rallies were held in Tel Aviv, Haifa, and the occupied Al-Quds. Protesters called on Netanyahu to immediately finalize a deal with the Palestinian resistance movements that would see the return of the captives being held in Gaza. They criticized Netanyahu for prioritizing his political interests in Gaza over the lives of the captives and demanded new elections. Opponents of the government and the families of the captives say they are also planning days-long and massive demonstrations in the coming week. Netanyahu has been in hot water as he is charged with fraud and breach of trust in a number of cases. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of protesters turned out at the 11th National Pro-Palestine demonstration in the British capital, London. Protesters are still frustrated at the lack of pressure being placed on Tel Aviv to avert more Palestinian lives being lost. Amina Taylor reports from London.
It was the 11th time the British capital had played host to another national demonstration against the US-led Israeli genocide of Palestinians inside Gaza. Coincidentally, this march was taking place on an auspicious day for Palestinians. March 30th is commemorated as Land Day to mark the 1976 Israeli killing of six Palestinians and the wounding of scores more who had gathered to show their affinity for a land that has literally witnessed the constant shedding of Palestinian blood. In an act of solidarity with Palestine, central London showed it would not be letting up on the pressure. Flash forward to this most recent attempt to ethnically cleanse Palestine of its people, and it's clear the UK is being blasted for its complicity in allowing a ceasefire motion to go unacknowledged by Tel Aviv. A comparatively small counter-demo by pro-Israel supporters was peacefully drowned out by pro-Palestinians. The protesters taking part in the demo had a variety of reasons why their presence on the marches mattered.
We just want to bring this conflict into the consciousness of everyone, so everyone understands what's going on here. You know, children being slaughtered, you know, women being slaughtered, the schools and hospitals just completely destroyed. You know, it's just inhumane. It's just beyond imagination.
We have to stop this. We have to. Don't you? No one can be blind to what's happening. It has to stop. It has to stop. Showing ourselves like this, demonstrating how horrified and outraged we are, and then boycott Israel.
Demonstrators have pledged to keep turning out in the streets to protest against the genocide in Gaza until there's a cessation of violence and justice for Palestinians. Amina Taylor, London.
Protests were also held around France to mark the 48th annual commemoration of Palestinian Land Day. The West continues to extend total support for Tel Aviv despite the wanton violence of the Israeli regime, which has already violated the United Nations order for a ceasefire. Rami Mazari reports from Paris.
In Paris and across France, major rallies were held on Palestinian Land Day, which recalls the events of March 30th, 1976, when Israelis killed six unarmed Palestinians and injured 100 others during protests against Israel's confiscation of Palestinian land. The United Nations Security Council finally passed a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza, but Israel continues to trample on the most basic human rights. Its main arms dealers and political bodyguards, the United States and Germany, have taken no steps to prevent Tel Aviv from murdering even more innocents. The casualty count in Gaza is now well over 100,000, with more than 32,000 Palestinians killed and 75,000 people injured in less than 6 months. Israel continues to do what it once virulently denied ever doing, illegally bombing hospitals, and even arresting scores of doctors and patients in just the last week. Despite spreading famine, Israel has told the United Nations it will not allow any food convoys into northern Gaza, which the UN Secretary General described as a moral outrage. An investigative report just revealed that a French arms company sent nearly a ton of machine gun parts to Israel in October, which were likely used against civilians in Gaza. That contradicts the longtime stance of Paris that the arms it exports to Israel are purely defensive. Christians in Gaza are celebrating their holy Easter weekend amid the invasion, carpet bombing, and famine. Hundreds of historical sites, including many churches, have been destroyed by Israelis in what's been deemed a cultural genocide. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
With that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for listening. Take care and bye-bye for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kHz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
In the blessed month of Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine because of Israel's policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Ramadan, one of the most sacred months for Muslims worldwide, blends spiritual introspection with family life in the community, especially during the breaking of the fast known as Iftar. But for the inhabitants of war-ravaged Gaza, this month will be different from all previous ones. Gaza has been enduring a genocidal war marked by bombings, siege, and the dehumanization of Palestinians. This dehumanization turns children, pregnant women, and the elderly into legitimate targets for Israeli soldiers. Harrowing images from Gaza have become symbols of the cruelty of the settler colonial regime. This Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine due to the Israeli policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. This situation arises because Israel has failed to weaken the Hamas resistance group militarily or propose a plan for Gaza's future that does not involve Hamas as a representative of the people of Gaza. As a consequence of these abject failures, Israel has opted for a new strategy in Gaza to create a situation where no one emerges victorious, even though it is the regime that has faced defeat. The strategy of rendering Gaza uninhabitable and ungovernable involves provoking absolute chaos in the territory and creating a situation of full-scale famine. According to this toxic colonial strategy, if no political force is capable of maintaining even a minimum of governmental stability in the territory, it becomes entirely dependent on humanitarian aid. In the case of Gaza, the famine strategy designed by the Zionist colonial occupation is complemented by the distribution of humanitarian aid by the United States, described by many as a show reinforcing the dependency of the Palestinian territory and keeping it in a state of permanent chaos. The images of malnourished Palestinian bodies have become common on social media sites in recent days, even though the mainstream Western media continues to reduce these colossal human losses into cold statistics. The graphic images of mutilated bodies or malnourished babies are part of the daily reality faced by Palestinians of Gaza. The issue is not to create despair or evoke sympathy, but to expose the atrocities of the Zionist colonial occupation regime, which has assumed frightening proportions since 7th of October last year. Israel obsessively concerns itself with its public image, making desperate attempts to hide its genocidal crimes. However, in the battle for narratives, Zionist Hasbara, the propaganda organ of the colonial entity, has failed to conceal the reality of genocide and starvation it has imposed on Palestinians. During this holy month, it is also important to highlight the colonial expansion in other parts of Palestine, such as the occupied West Bank. Recently, the colonial regime approved the construction of more illegal settlements in the region. Many tougher restrictions have also been imposed on Palestinian worshippers from accessing the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the sacred month of Ramadan, with reports of multiple deadly raids on several parts of the occupied city of Al-Quds recently resulting in the martyrdom of at least 4 Palestinians. One of them was a 13-year-old teenage Palestinian boy who was shot and martyred by an Israeli sniper whilst bursting firecrackers outside his house near Shufat camp in occupied city of Al-Quds. The genocide and starvation in Gaza are meticulously designed to inflict harm and create atrocious conditions for the local population. Several Gaza residents have spoken about the deliberate destruction of farmland in the area, aiming to keep the population subdued and deprived of any ability to feed themselves. The destruction of fertile soil in Gaza with the clear aim of causing famine can also be understood through the decision of the occupying regime to flood tunnels in Gaza with seawater. According to several experts, this action would have led to the destruction of these soils and their potential agricultural use. Amid death and destruction, Israel continues its psychological warfare against Palestinians of Gaza. The leaflets dropped by the regime urge people to feed the needy, which rights activists perceive as a cruel irony given the situation of famine imposed by Israel itself. The message of feeding the needy reveals the insignificance of Palestinian lives to the colonial forces. Furthermore, it underscores the dehumanization of the Palestinian population and, along with it, the normalization of extermination, domination, exploitation, premature death, and even conditions worse than death, such as ruthless torture. For decades, Palestinians have lived in constant anticipation of death, a reality dating back before even 1947. Colonized individuals often anticipate degradation, humiliation, and murder. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim community is particularly aware of the divine blessings in their daily lives. The notion of divinity should not be interpreted as something separate from earthly reality. On the contrary, the divinity of the Holy Quran implies a political struggle to establish a just community in this world. We cannot speak of justice, much less build a just society, while Gaza and the rest of Palestine continue to suffer genocide and starvation. The English website of Al Mayadeen Television Network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Ramadan, the month of fasting and divine grace, has commenced again. Fasting is not merely an abstention from food, but an exercise in self-restraint and self-discipline. It's also the time for Muslims to reflect on the challenges that they face and reaffirm their commitment to the Quranic teachings of unity and standing up against all forms and manifestations of evil. At the moment, the most pressing issue for Muslims is related to the besieged Gaza Strip, where the US-backed Israeli war of genocide, now in its 6th month, has already claimed over tens of thousands of precious lives, many of them Palestinian women and children. The efforts to broker a truce between the commencement of the holy month, in which the Holy Quran was revealed in its entirety, failed to materialize due to the occupying regime's hard-nosed stance. With Israel intent on committing more massacres and war crimes ahead of a potential invasion of southern Gaza Strip, city of Rafah, it is clear that securing the release of Israeli captives in Gaza was never high on Israel's agenda. What they seek is the obliteration of Hamas, which in reality means the Palestinians of Gaza. As the month of mercy, Ramadan has always been an opportune time to bring about ceasefire agreements, as was the case between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, who agreed to a truce agreement in 2022, coinciding with the start of Ramadan that year. The ethnic Malay Muslim separatists in Thailand and the Thai government have also agreed in principle to a ceasefire spanning the holy month of Ramadan and the Thai festival of Songkran in mid-April. Earlier this week, the UN Security Council also adopted a UK-drafted resolution that called for a Ramadan ceasefire in Sudan amid the country's devastating civil war. One of the reasons Ramadan is known as the month of mercy is because the gates of heaven are open while those of hell are considered closed to the sincere believers.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We'll welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
And Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the significance of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. Roughly translated into the night of power or something like that. We want to talk about the significance of this night, which day or night is considered to be Laylatul Qadr, and what are the recommended actions during this night. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Let's start with the naming itself, Laylatul Qadr. What is it exactly?
Actually, the literal translation for Laylatul Qadr is the night of Taqdir. Taqdir means to, we can interpret or explain it as measuring. So measuring the destiny of Muslims. We believe that in that night, that very night, the destiny, the whole destiny of 1 year for all human being will be destined. Actions during the year, it will be destined by its moment, its very moment to be done or not
so
to
mean,
be done.
You mean the year, the upcoming year is going
yes,
to be destined on that.
Yes, the upcoming year. So that, okay. If we wanted to translate the meaning of Laylatul Qadr based on the actions that we are required to do during that night, I mean, including the du'as, prayers, supplications.
Keeping vigil.
Yes, because you want to comprehend that very moment in which your prayer will be fulfilled or in which the Quran has been revealed based on the verses that we have in the Quran. We have many verses in the Quran referring to this point that Quran itself has been revealed in night of Qadr. First of all, we have the verse in the Quran saying that Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. In another verse we have inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubaraka, and in the third verse we have at the beginning of the Surah Al-Qadr inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr, meaning that this night of Qadr must be during the month of Ramadan, and from one of those nights, if we want to take the common view based on Shia and Sunnah brothers, so we have to say for the last 10 nights, of the Ramadan, as we have the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he would actually put away his mat for the sleeping. Meaning that for those, for those nights, he wouldn't sleep.
That's right. 23rd of Ramadan among the Shiites and 27th of Ramadan among the Sunni brethren are more emphasized as Laylatul Qadr. But regardless of which timing, Shaykh Nur Muhammad, is Laylatul Qadr, I mean, what is the significance of this night for Muslims and for all the believing Muslims around the world? What to do and what not to do during these nights?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, the night of Qadr is a heart of the holy month of Ramadan.
Very good.
You know, from the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, we should start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are fasting. Try to focus and to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to whisper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recitation of Noble Quran as regular. In any mosque or any center you go, you see many people reciting the verses of Noble Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very unique time, actually, for all Muslims especially, trying to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him as much as possible.
Yes.
For example, in one narration we have from Noble Prophet Muhammad, he said that al-amalu salih fiha khayrun min al-amal fi alf shahr.
Yes.
If you have the righteous action in the nights of Qadr or destination, is actually much better than having any action in a thousand months.
Yes.
You know? So, beginning from the month of holy month of Ramadan, you always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually when you reach to the night of Qadr, you increase your yes. worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And try to be meticulous about your actions, your yes. behavior,
okay.
and even about your thinking.
Yes.
Try to always focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Try to have this actually to create a spiritual atmosphere
yes.
for yourself and your family, for your family members, because maybe it's your last time and last opportunity for yes. worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. That's right. Ya Laylat al-Qadr ya fawla barina khayrun min ad-dahr bil'afwi tatina ya Laylat al-Qadr فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن للناس بالفرقان يا ليلة And Sheikh Mahtavi, some people might say that this Laylatul Qadr was only limited to that timing at the time of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, the Holy Quran was revealed to him on a specific Laylatul Qadr in blah blah year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So is it still significant for you because timing have passed and you know it might lose its significance? Is it the same Laylatul Qadr that was Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad or not?
If I get your point properly, I think, let me just repeat it. If it is okay, I continue. If you mean that, okay, Quran has been revealed on that very night.
Yes.
Long away.
Away time.
So,
right.
Okay, what's the significance of keeping vigil these nights, I mean the Ramadan,
yes, yes, yes.
that we are. Okay,
yes.
If this is the question, I think we can go for Quran and refer to Quran and see how Quran tells us about this actually question. You know, in the following verses of the Surah Al-Qadr, it says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنَ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرَ. That is actually the verb that you have at the beginning of this verse. It comes in the present tense.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the past tense. Okay? So, meaning that every night of Qadr, this will happen.
Uh-huh.
Which thing will happen? This coming down of all angels, including angel Ruh.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay?
So, if such a thing happens, it happens because of that spiritual thing that happened at that time. We do not believe that Quran only had one aspect,
uh-huh.
which was this worldly and material aspect regarding the Quran, that we can see these writings
mm-hmm.
of the Quran. It was revealed upon the Prophet,
yes.
and that's done over. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to do with that.
Yes.
No. That spirit
uh-huh.
that will happen, that very close relationship of this world and the spiritual world
yes.
must be connected. And during that night, this relationship will be strengthened, if you wanted to say it in a very actually normal or in a very simple language.
Yes.
So that actually connection will take place during that night based on this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse of Quran, which says تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ and then سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ
yes.
مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ till the dawn.
Yes.
So even in the verse itself, it says that that communication of the angels and spiritual world with our worldly thing, keep continuing up until dawn.
Yes.
So because of that, we keep vigil. We do not sleep. We pray because we know that we want to take our advantage during this close connection and going and coming of the angels or this close relationship, of the spiritual world with our world.
Yes. Even religious gatherings and discussions are recommended during these nights. I mean, question and answers, sitting down with an alim, you know, asking your questions and get the answers from that side. Even these are some of the recommendations. Besides all these worshiping actions, reading du'as or we can say supplications and worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplation and pondering on the heart and base of the Quran and the religious beliefs are also very much recommended during these nights. But Shaykh Nur Muhammad, what about other recommended actions during these nights, Laylatul Qadr?
Very beautiful narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said that إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فَأَجِهِدُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He said that from the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to do your best in worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that because of the significance of the holy month of Ramadan, we should, according to Imam al-Sadiq, we should do our best worshiping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to separate actually from other material things about thinking about this world and try to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam said that وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ عَلْعَمَلُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. If you have your best action and your best worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Laylatul Qadr is actually much better than having any other action in 1,000 months. So, you know, it can be righteous action, it can be forgiving, for generosity, for the needy people, try to be away from committing any error or mistake, and try to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to whatever righteous action possible, try to do it for other fellow human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, your final remarks regarding Laylatul Qadr.
Allah, since we are approaching the nights of power and the nights of destiny, we ask all of our dear brothers and sisters to keep us in their du'as, and also we pray for them because of the significance of this night that is not going to happen after this Ramadan. Mm-hmm. The most important thing to be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking forgiveness. As we see in all of the du'as of Shahr Ramadan, we have this forgiveness. Forgiveness, and to be freed from the hellfire, inshallah, because of the dhunub and sins that mistakenly or willingly, sometimes, God forbid, we commit. We are really in need of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which time is much better than this blessed time of Laylatul Qadr.
That's right. چه مبارک سحری بود و چه فرخنده شبی آن شب قدر که آن تازه براتم دادن. You know, the Laylatul Qadr has also been so much significant that even in the most outstanding poems of the outstanding Persian poets has been repeated very much by Hafez, Molavi, and also Saadi in most of them. And as you said, understanding the significance, and it's better to say the preciousness of this night, is also very much important, because you might miss it. It is not going to be repeated, you know, during the other nights of the year. This is a chance, an opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special chance given to the Muslims. We are invited to the holy month of Allah and to the holy night. Okay.
And I think it's good to have this very quick reference to this story of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, that during those nights, she would keep the children also awake. It's very nice that she was splashing drops of water on the face of the children to keep them vigil. Only for these nights to train them that, okay, these are a very, very special times, actually for Hassanain when they were kids. So it means that doesn't matter if we are adult or kids or children. Okay. Destiny is destiny for them or for adults.
Okay.
So they taught us these things that we have to follow their teachings, inshallah, doing these things for our family as well.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of Laylatul Qadr. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parsuri.ir, Call of Islam page. Do not forget us in your du'as and supplications during Laylatul Qadr. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
إلهي قد تراكمت الذنوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب لعفوك يا محب.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa man yarjuka rabbi la yakhibu. Ilahi, 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 ilahi.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulema, that are Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The topic of Ramadan special series is self-sacrifice and martyrdom seeking, with a focus on Ayah 111 of Surah Tawbah of the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, please. We have all heard that the Messenger of Mercy, Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said in part of his sermon on the verge of arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan, that the gates of hell are closed and the gates of paradise are open. He also said that Satan and his troops are tied in chains in this month. So, it is the best time for getting close to God through doing righteous deeds. Ramadan is the best period to achieve the best degrees in servitude of Allah. In part of Ayah 111 of Surah Tawbah, we read, "Indeed Allah has bought from the faithful their souls and their possessions for paradise to be theirs." In every dealing, there are five pillars. God says that He is the buyer and the faithful are the sellers. Their souls and properties are the merchandise, and paradise is the price of the dealing. These were the four pillars of this dealing. Then Allah continues, they fight in the way of Allah, kill and are killed. Then Allah mentions the fifth pillar, which is the valid document for the dealing. He says, a promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Evangel and the Quran. Then Allah stresses, and who is truer to his promise than Allah? In the end, he congratulates the seller, saying, so rejoice in the bargain you have made with him, and that is the great success. Whenever something is said briefly in the Quran, it is explained in the following ayahs. Here too, Allah mentions nine characteristics of the faithful who sell their souls to Allah are penitent, devout, celebrators of Allah's praise, who fast, who bow in prayer, prostrate in prayer, bid what is right, and forbid what is wrong, and keep Allah's bounds. Then Allah tells the Prophet, and give good news to the faithful. When the faithless of Quraysh decided to kill the Prophet at night in his house, Imam Ali, peace upon him, slept instead of him in his bed so that the Prophet could leave the city secretly. God told his two great angels, Gabriel and Michael, I have made you brothers and ordained the life of one longer than the other. Which of you is ready to have a shorter life? Both of them asked for longer life. God then said, I have made Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Prophet as brothers of one another. Now Ali has slept in the bed of his cousin, Muhammad Mustafa, instead of him, to be killed and preserve his life. Now go to the earth and guard him. Then Gabriel stood over Imam Ali's head and Michael stood below his feet. Gabriel extolled Imam Ali with the words, Allah is boastful of you to the angels. At that point, Ayah 207 of Surah Baqarah was revealed about this unmatched virtue of Imam Ali, which reads, and among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is kind to servants. One of the best gifts of Allah to the faithful is martyrdom. Why is it a gift? Because everyone will die and there is no escape from it. Our most serious concern is related to after death, as we don't know what will happen to us. But martyrdom, which means being killed in the way of God, turns this unclear and worrying future to an honorable happening in both this world and the hereafter. The soul is the thing that men will lose inevitably, but Allah sells it with martyrdom and pays paradise as the price. This is not exclusive for Muslims. Allah has promised this in the Torah and the Evangel too. Moreover, it should be noted that martyrdom is among the concepts which few will be qualified enough to attain it. The most important factor to attain martyrdom is self-sacrifice, and the highest self-sacrifice is to sacrifice one's soul as the most precious property. Martyr is a person who sacrifices his soul consciously and insightfully in the way of Allah. It means that he or she prefer Allah's satisfaction to theirs. They abandon their soul, their children, their properties, their positions, and all beauties and pleasures of the world. In Iran, too, martyrs lost their souls. They were the martyrs before the Islamic Revolution, the martyrs of the eight-year imposed war, martyrs who defended the holy shrines in Iraq and Syria, and those who were martyred for security of people in cities and borders. They lost their souls, but not their religion. Their only goal was to obey Allah and revive his religion. Martyr Mehdi Zainuddin, the renowned Iranian commander of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib division during the Holy Defense against Saddam's Ba'athist army, said on the self-sacrifice of the combatants, "In one of the operations we faced with barbed wire and couldn't open the passage. We had to cross from there. The group commander gathered the forces and consulted with them. Everyone said something, but the best suggestion was that one of two persons lie of the barbed wire so that others could pass over them. Everyone volunteered and wanted to open the way for the group. At last, lay on the barbed wire with their faces. When they were asked as why they lay that way, they answered, they didn't want to make others feel shy when seeing their faces."
Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remembered the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
scores more Palestinians are killed in Israel's indiscriminate strikes across Gaza, as the total death toll from the regime's genocidal war tops 32,700.